Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on the Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gowerd, Loogie. We talked about this last night, but the message remains the same here when it comes to the Yankees, and that is they're grinding, they are keeping afloat, and they are, quite frankly, thriving, which is a huge accomplishment when you consider all the adversity that this team has faced. Like, I don't think it's crazy to say that this is Aaron Boone's best managerial job in his time with the Yankees. Stanton out since April. Judge has been out for quite some time. Freed missed several months. Rodon has been out. Bellinger is now out. And yet through all of that, Aaron Boone is leading this team to victory after victory after victory. And that is a credit to Aaron Boone. That is a credit to Brian Cashman. And I know a lot of Yankee fans don't like hearing that when we give credit to both of those guys. But facts are the facts. Both of them, and Brian Cashman's going to earn his keep over the next 6 days or so before the trade deadline. But what Aaron Boone has been able to do with this team, through all the challenges, through all the adversity, through all the injuries, is remarkable, really. I mean, if you look at any other team in baseball, if they had the injuries that the Yankees had to key players, those teams would be in big trouble. And the Yankees are anything but, because they are climbing up now to the point where I wouldn't be stunned at all if by the trade deadline the Yankees are in first place. Tampa seems to be going in the other direction again, and the Yankees, despite all their problems with injuries and a lineup that does need reinforcements, not only Judge and Stanton, but guys at the trade deadline, the Yankees are ascending here. Late July, and hey, it's the script every year with them. Hot start, June swoon, and then a hot end of the season. But this year is different because of the injuries. You can't just say, well, this is the Aaron Boone way and he doesn't deserve any credit because his teams always get hot at the end of the year and this is the typical script, which it is. But what's different is the fact that there are injuries, major injuries. And the Yankees and Aaron Boone have been able to overcome that, which is a massive credit to him as a manager. And it's a major credit to the, and I talked about this last night, but it holds true again tonight, and that is the fact that the Yankees have built such a great culture with this team, regular season-wise. I think it's fair to compartmentalize a 162 and then October. Now, October is a totally different animal. And Boone and Judge and this organization, they have a lot of demons that they need to slay. They have a lot of demons they need to exercise. They have a lot of, I guess you would, do you slay demons or you slay dragons? I know you exercise demons as Ace Ventura. I have exercised the demons, but I think you could also slay demons. I'm not sure, but you definitely slay dragons. Either way, when you look at the regular season, it is one thing. When it comes to the Yankees, especially this regime, the Aaron's era, as I call it, Boone and Judge. And then October is a totally different animal. And the Yankees have a lot to answer for come the postseason. But what can't be denied is their success like a machine in the regular season. And I think this year is Aaron Boone's finest managerial job. To navigate the waters of extremely high expectations, to navigate the waters of a lot of injuries, to navigate the waters of a tough media, the toughest in the world, for this team to be now at a point where they're going to be in first place by next week. And I think ultimately the Yankees are going to win the division. And they're going to get reinforcements in a couple of days. And maybe it's not going to be moves that wow you. Like a week from now, we could be getting calls about Brian Cashman is not good at his job and he didn't get Mason Miller. Listen, I don't think Mason Miller is going anywhere. And you could just, you could read all the tea leaves here. The Padres want everything that they can get for Mason Miller, which makes sense because of how great he is and he's under team control for a while. I think it's just going to be too rich for everybody's blood. And I think San Diego is going to dangle him out there, but ultimately they are going to keep Mason Miller. When you look at this, and I know Bednar gave up a couple runs tonight, but the Yankee bullpen has been lights out for a while now. That is not a weakness, not even close. And I think based on his time with the Yankees, the trust level for Bednar, for me, and I'd be curious what Yankee fans think about this, but my trust level for Bednar out of 10 is an 8. I think that's pretty damn good. I mean, he pitched in October last year. He's been here now for a year. He's a strong option in the ninth inning. He's not Mason Miller. Few are. Or even in the, you know, Edwin Diaz or Duran. I mean, how many guys are even in the conversation with Mason Miller? But Bednar is damn good. And I would say confidence level-wise, I would be at an 8 out of 10 with him in a big spot, in a big moment in October. Most other teams would wave the white flag. The wheels would fall off, and they would suffer mightily based on all these injuries and all these hurdles that have been put in front of the Yankees. And like I said, I think the best way to look at Aaron Boone and really sort of critique, grade, analyze his run as Yankee manager is to compartmentalize it into two different categories. One of them being regular season, where Aaron Boone is a really good manager. And then October, where I would say Aaron Boone has been a subpar manager. And I know with the Yankees, the expectations are always extremely high. It's about championships. It's been about parades. And for their standards, they haven't won in a while. They would be in a drought. Other teams wouldn't consider a drought, but for Yankee standards, it's a drought. But make no mistake, and they used to say this about Peyton Manning all the time before he got over the hump. You know, Peyton Manning used to win, what, 10, 11, 12 games in the regular season, and then he would fall flat on his face in the playoffs, and everybody would just say, well, you know, they would scoff at what he would do, Peyton Manning, in the regular season. It's like a news for you. Winning 10-plus games year in and year out in the NFL is very difficult. And yet Peyton Manning made it look easy. The Yankees make the regular season at times look easy. Just year in and year out, they win. No matter what the circumstances are put in front of them. They never finish below 500. They are constantly in the postseason. And I think the job that Aaron Boone is doing right now is his finest as Yankee manager. Regular season. He will have to answer for it in October. He will have to ultimately bring this team a championship, a crown, a ring, a parade for his critics to be silenced. But as far as the regular season, I mean, Aaron Boone knows what he's doing. And that's why he keeps his job. I mean, that's the age-old question that we get on this station a lot is, why does Aaron Boone keep his job? Well, he performs well in the regular season. He knows how to handle the media. He knows how to handle the players. And the Yankees are a machine, a global brand, and a team that just churns it out every year in the regular season. Now, for some, that's not good enough. Most teams would sign up for that in a heartbeat, in a nanosecond. I know the Yankees are not most teams, but still, I think it says a lot about Aaron Boone. It says a lot about Cashman. It says a lot about the infrastructure that they have. Now, going back to the offseason, I was critical of the run it back mentality. And I still think we are at a point where you can't say that it was the right thing to do. Bellinger, before he got hurt, even though All-Star was struggling with Judge out of the lineup, Grisham has been a disaster. And ultimately, what the Yankees do in the postseason will determine, like it does every year, whether or not what they did at the deadline, what they did in the offseason, it will ultimately decide their fate on whether or not the Yankees did enough or the right thing. But you know, in the regular season, no matter what is thrown in front of them, they win. Whether it's because of veteran leadership or, and I've talked about both of these guys a lot, but in this sense, Rice and Schlittler, whether it's the drafting department, the scouting department, the minor league system, the Yankee organization deserves so much credit for both of these guys. To find both of them, who are all-stars, future Cy Young, future MVP, pillars of this organization. Right now, it's Aaron Judge's team. Someday, it will be Schlittler and Rice's team. When Aaron is either finished his career or at the back end, when he's putting on 17. And he will hand the baton over to both of those guys, who are going to be superstars in New York for a very long time. And the pitching staff, and now I'm including the bullpen, which has been lights out here. You know, you have Bird and Duvall, but those guys are not going to factor into the end of the year and the postseason. When you look at this staff, top to bottom, rotation and bullpen, this is a championship pitching staff. And Gerrit Cole, I got to be honest with you. I thought going into this year, coming back from the injury, being a player that is, you know, an advanced age for, you know, an athlete standards, not in life standards, I thought Cole would need some time to get going. I thought perhaps we wouldn't see his best this year. I mean, Gerrit Cole, whether it's velocity, whether it's the stuff, whether it's just grinding out these, and even tonight, like he didn't have it in that one inning where he threw a million balls. It was actually one of the worst innings he's ever had as far as inaccuracy. Gerrit Cole battled through, and to me, when you can have Gerrit Cole be your third guy you throw at a team in a postseason series, where a lot of teams that are even in October are kind of scrambling in that spot, the Yankees are not. They are set up so strong, 1-2-3. And that's why I've been saying they don't need Skubal. They don't. Because you bring in Skubal and, you know, early on, now this is assuming if the Yankees are playing in a wild card round, Skubal would take one of those chairs, if it's musical chairs, which, I mean, Fried deserves it, Cole deserves it, and Schlittler obviously is going game one. The pitching staff doesn't need anything more other than a little tinkering. You're going to get Rodon back, you're going to move guys to the bullpen, a Warren, a Weathers, you're going to trade for one reliever. In all likelihood, it's not going to be a Mason Miller because I just don't think he's getting moved. I think the Padres would be idiots to trade him. Even if they are rebuilding. A Machado is different, you know, a Bogart, you know, guys that are older, big contracts, fine. Not the best closer in baseball on any given night with a team-friendly deal because he's under control till 2030. But I can't say enough good things about Aaron Boone, especially this regular season. I think this is his finest job as Yankee manager. And I could see this Yankee team over the next couple of months, if they continue to grind it out the way they've been grinding it out, and they continue to keep on keeping on, I think even the most jaded, disgruntled, upset Yankee fan with this administration, because when George was alive, and if Jeter was on the team, and in the 90s, and we've heard it all before, right? Even those Yankee fans, I think we'll grow to love this team down the stretch because, yeah, we love the superpower teams. We love the teams that mow everybody down and they have all this talent. But something is to be said about a team that handles adversity like this, that has all these kind of injuries and just fights. Those are the teams we love. I look towards the Knicks, who obviously didn't have the injuries, but what we love about them is their fight, especially in this run to a championship. They never gave up. They always fought, and you had to drive the stake through their heart to beat them. Now, it still remains to be seen if the Yankees are going to do that in October, but I could just feel it that even the most jaded Yankee fan over the next couple of months, because you're not getting Bellinger back till after Labor Day, you're not getting Judge back till after Labor Day. You could say whatever you want about Stanton as far as, you could tell him he's coming back tomorrow. I don't think we're seeing him until late August, early September. So it's still going to be a month or so before you get your three All-Stars back. So it's going to be, and even with the trade deadline, if I think it's going to be a lot of necessity moves, a Jeffers, you bring up Lombard, get an outfielder. I know Tyrone Taylor's name has been thrown out there. A lunch pail guy like that. A glue guy, so to speak. I think that's what we're looking at over the next couple days for the Yankees. So it's going to be still a grind for the next month or so before you get your reinforcements back. And listen, I'm a generational talent, but I'm not a doctor. I don't know if you're getting Aaron Judge at peak Judge performance in September. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it. Now, come October, you know, with a month under his belt, yeah, he could round into shape. But I would imagine, same thing for Stanton. It's going to take time for that. And Bellinger, who was struggling before he got hurt. And then, you know, you had to be on the shelf for 6 weeks. That's not easy either to come back at the end of the year and turn the light switch on. So, in all likelihood, the group you see now with some moves here at the deadline, but in all likelihood, not major splashes as far as offensive players, because the major splashes seem to be more in the pitching department, which the Yankees don't need any help with. So you're going to see these, the Rosarios and Caballeros and Volpe and Goldschmidt. And I know a lot of those names make you want to vomit in your mouth, but what you can't argue with is success. And even if it's, hey, the Central's not good, the American League's not good, but you know what? Winning in sports is not easy, especially consistently. And the Yankees have, and I'll bring the Knicks back into the, I'll bring every team around here into the conversation. The Knicks now, to me, are a team that's set up to win year in and year out. Now, I'm not saying championships, but they'll win in the regular season, because once you crack the code on how to win in the regular season and you keep your core and you kind of keep that culture, you could just kind of roll the ball out there and win every year. That's what I'm looking for with the Giants here, a giant turnaround right out of the gate with Harbaugh, where he teaches them how to win, and they win year in and year out, especially with the quarterback. That's something that the Jets have lost their way on, clearly. I mean, that's probably an understatement. That's something that every team in town wants to get to and wants to achieve. Championship always is the main goal, but it says a lot to be a consistent regular season team, where you win year in and year out, win a lot of games, division titles, etc. And that's what the Yankees do. And like I said, I think this is Aaron Boone's finest managerial job of his Yankee career, what he's doing with this group right now. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Coming up, we'll get into some... There's a name that I saw in a report with the Yankees that if... Let me put it to this way. I'll give you the name coming up, but it's somebody that I would stay far away from if I were the Yankees. We'll also get into the Giants. We'll get into the Jets as training camp has begun for both teams. We got you till 2 a.m. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. 11:49 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
We brought Rosie back because not only is he a really good player, but he's a tremendous teammate.
You're my best friend.
A glue guy, so to speak. Okay, I'm going to need you to leave. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. Hopefully everybody had a pleasant Lugie evening. I got you till 2 a.m. One name I want to bring up here, because I saw this report earlier today, and I am just flabbergasted by this one. It was from Jeff Passan. He said the Yankees are waiting to hear from the Angels on what the price is for Zach Neto. Zach Neto just struck out another, 17 times in a game. He is not the type of player that you want to bring here at shortstop. He just strikes out way too much. And I've been adamant about this over the last few weeks as the trade deadline has become a major topic of conversation, obviously, with the deadline being August 3rd. The Yankees have to figure out a way to eliminate the strikeouts, not add strikeouts. It's the last thing you want to do. Now, Ryan Jeffers, catcher from the Twins, he doesn't strike out a lot, and he hits for a high average. There are parts of Neto's game that I do like. Like, he has good pop for shortstop, but he struck out 149 times last year. He has 146 strikeouts already. 146. He's going north of 200. And he's batting 235. More importantly to me, the strikeouts. Because obviously he can get on base, OPS, like it's over 7. But even that. But 235, I mean, the 146 is a staggering number. And it's par for the course for him. I mean, actually, he's striking out more than he has over the last couple years. 142 years ago, 149 last year, now 146. And I know the Red Sox are interested, but if you're the Yankees, you can't add strikeouts. You can't. You just can't. You have to find guys that can actually hit the ball a little bit. By the way, Joe Girardi was all over Michael Kay because he sort of stirred his tea with his glasses. That wasn't the part that really struck me. It was more that you put stuff in tea? Like Splenda or Equal, that goes in tea? I just drink tea the way it is. I thought, and coffee, now I drink coffee a black. I don't put anything in coffee either. Haven't in years. That's something I would say back since, I don't drink coffee anymore, but I know sometimes it sounds like I'm on 12 cups of coffee. I don't drink any coffee. You can't say I have PEDs on this show. I basically come in here with no energy drink, no coffees. I've been up since noon. I'm shot out of a cannon. So if you drug tested me there, yeah, I wouldn't come up with any sort of sports talk radio performance enhancers. But, yeah, you put stuff in tea? I thought tea is just hot water and the tea itself. I didn't realize anybody put other stuff in tea. I don't really care how you mix it, meaning like if you want to use your glasses, if you want to use your finger, if you want to use a stirrer, if you want to even just shake the cup around or stir the cup around, that's fine with me. I don't really care. But I just didn't realize that people put stuff in tea. Now, I'm not the world's biggest tea drinker. I know a lot of people in our business are, but whenever I have a throat issue, I just take a lozenger or whatever they call them.
A lozenger.
And I just take a cough drop. But I, for one, have never put anything. The few times I do have tea, which is a couple times a year, I suppose. So, put that over 20 years that I've been drinking coffee / tea. Although I've stopped with the coffee now. But I still occasionally drink tea, and I never put anything in it. So that was what struck me more.
No honey?
Well, that's a little bit different, though.
Yeah, they put honey in tea.
Yeah, but that's like, I would put stuff in coffee if I'm going with the fancy coffee that tastes anything but like coffee. You know what I mean? Like the caramel macchiato, and it's more of a dessert. So when you put honey in it, obviously you're doing it for your throat, but you're also doing it to add to the taste. But I feel like the Splenda, I don't know, that's more for coffee. I could be wrong on this, but I feel like with tea, you don't put anything in it.
Depends what tea bag you have, too.
I suppose, but I mean, what does it matter?
If it's a regular, like, Lipton tea
that's
bag.
So what other, then, what are we in a spa? I would imagine at a ballpark in Chicago, Michael Kay got a regular tea bag.
There's Earl Grey, there's green tea,
there's not cinnamon. In a ballpark, that type of stuff.
Of course there are.
No shot.
You're out of your
mind. He got it from the media area where they're just getting the standard tea.
I guarantee you.
You don't know anything to guarantee. You don't have any authority to guarantee anything.
He was not drinking a regular tea.
You don't have the authority here. Tea. You're out of your element, Donnie. All right, we gotta go.
I'm a big tea guy.
Well, but you're also an idiot. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. If you're on hold, we will get to you. We've got 2 hours to take your phone calls. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan.